Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast, an emergency episode on a Saturday afternoon. Fair warning, everybody, this is about the time the gardeners come to the house. So if you guys hear some stuff going on in the background, that's what's going on. I asked if they could take a break while we talk about Anthony Davis, and they threatened to chop off all of our bushes. That was not going to go over very well with the wife. So here we are. I'm joined, as you heard, by Pete Zayas. Pete, how you holding up?
I'm doing well. It's a lot to digest and chew on, and we're recording this like 10-15 minutes after right it out. Drops, so it's still swirling around in my brain as we speak. So I'm hoping to not say anything too stupid.
That's what I'm here for.
Yeah, well, there's a balance to the universe, man.
So today's show, obviously, we have some stuff to talk about. I thought it would get done before the weekend. Turns out I was about 16 hours short, late or something like that. So I'm devastated by that prediction falling through. But overall, I thought I'd be happier. I think it's more we've heard about this so long that I'm just like, fuck, finally, you know?
No, for sure. It's nice to have resolution, right? Like this, and it's not just the Anthony Davis trade, right? Like they've got, even still with this trade, a very crucial free agency period coming up. But it feels like there's some degree of resolution of like, we know what the team is going to be mm-hmm. going forward, or at least the core of it, for the first time in really, it feels like since Kobe tore his Achilles, or maybe even before that, man, of just like, what team am I going to be rooting for? It's tough. I was talking to Darius about this the other day. Like, it's going to sort of feel like rooting for somebody else's players in Lakers. Like, we got Anthony freaking Davis, right? Like, let's not
undersell that. That's first and foremost.
That.
This is great. I'm going to go out and predict that he's going to make the Hall of Fame by the time it's
done. Anthony Davis is a future Hall of Famer. There's no question about that. I'm just speaking from my feelings right now, right? I'm not even saying it makes sense. I'm not asking anyone to agree with me. It's going to be weird, right? Rooting for a Lakers team that's LeBron James, who still feels like somebody else's player, right?
Especially after last year.
Well, I mean, for me last year, him struggling in a Lakers uniform, to me that like
felt that right because everybody does.
Well, that gives me some attachment to him, right? Like he went through some shit as a Laker, right? Like, he didn't go the way we wanted it to, but that actually gives me more attachment to him rather than less. Mm-hmm. But he still feels like not a Laker to me, right? And that's nothing against him. It's just he spent 15 years and making most of his legacy elsewhere. Nothing like one of the all-time greats. It's not like I don't want to like him. It's an emotional thing. It's like, how attached are you to the girlfriend you've been dating for 2 weeks? You know what I mean? Like, she can be great, but it's still 2 weeks is 2 weeks. And then Anthony Davis, right? And then I'm glad we at least kept Kuz in that, not just from a transactional standpoint, but like a, hey, I've been rooting for this dude for a couple of years now. That's my first part of this before we get into the actual, you know, analytical end of it, of trying to dissect the trade and whatnot. Like, my emotional reaction is, wow, this is a whole new era in Lakers history.
I wonder if, so we all know that Kuzma loves Kobe. I wonder if he's going to show up just like Kobe did with that Dwight Howard year and say, no, actually, this is my team. I would die. Just lean fully in, Kuz. Do it.
I wonder how Kuz is feeling right now, right? It's got to be like you've seen every other guy. You've seen every other guy like get traded, and now you're like last man standing, you know?
Him and Mo and Isaac Bonger are just like, what the hell? That Travolta gif, you know? where'd everybody go? We'll get into the return and all that stuff. I kind of wanted to spend this first segment just kind of going through the immediate response to it. Like you said, we are recording this minutes after it went through. I didn't even get the Woj note. I wonder if he blocked me again. Woj might have blocked me again because I didn't get the Woj notification. That's a bummer. But I just saw the notification that I got on Slack was Harrison saying fire off the pre-write. And we had two pre-writes. I was put in charge of the one for Silver Screen and Roll in case he was traded elsewhere. And then we had he wrote the one that was in case he was traded to the Lakers. And that was the only thing I saw. So I rushed into my office and I sat down here, and you were the first person I texted. My phone is still, I'm sure your phone is blowing up too. You know, your friends and family are asking, whoa, what the hell's going on? But you were the first person I texted. Other than that, I haven't spoken to anybody other than my gardener. That was it. So this is literally up to the moment reaction here, raw reaction. And I guess what I'm excited about, kind of like what you touched on earlier, is, okay, we now know that that's the end of the try to stay flexible cap-wise moving forward era. Mm-hmm. Right? That is behind us. We now have a core of at least two players, and we'll get into what the fallout of this means in free agency. We'll get into all of that in a little bit, but we now know that the core of the Lakers right now is at least LeBron, Anthony Davis, and then now potentially a third guy. And mm-hmm. we now know that that's the team that we're going to root for. That's the identity that we're going to have. And all right, let's try to figure it out from here. My immediate takeaway, though, I can't lie, was, wow, that was a lot.
Yeah, of course it was a lot. We've been talking about this for a while now, mm-hmm. and just because it actually got executed, like, so for me, the added element of what we already expected were two additional first round picks. Of all of the things the Lakers traded, those are by far the lowest in value, yeah. in that they are, you know, probably late firsts. And like the future first, I that was never something I had an issue with. I also don't think that, you know, Pelinka demonstrated any skill in the negotiation of this. I think he got it done, and there is something to be said for actually getting it done. We've seen enough things fall apart to where, you know, that can't be taken for granted. But I also think the Lakers paid well above what they would have needed to actually beat the closest offer, or even, you know, whatever presumed Lakers tax is in there. The Lakers overpaid in this deal. How much does that matter when you're getting a superstar is up for debate.
So on top of what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick second here, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the actual cost of this deal. And then in the third segment, we will get into the fallout of this, what this means for the Lakers moving forward, what pieces they have to continue to build moving forward. So hang tight. Let's catch our breaths, and we'll be right back. So as of right now, the trade is Lonzo, Ingram, Hart, the number 4 pick, 2 first rounders on top of that, and now Ramona is talking about potential pick swaps.
Which, oh my goodness!
Which we could isolate that sound, but that's.
It's unlikely that the Lakers do surrender.
Yeah.
A pick swap,
but it's still something you're worried about, right? And when you consider, so they came out and said explicitly, Jason Tatum was not ever offered, right? We don't know what other mystery deal was out there, right? You never know with those kinds of things, but. Like, this is very close to what you and I were talking about. Okay, so the line wasn't Kuzma. The line, it turned out, was 2 picks and then 2 extra first-rounders. We don't know what the protections on those first-rounders are going to be. And then potential pick swaps down the road, right? That line is a lot further towards, you know, overpaying than I thought we would get to.
Yeah, I mean, there's a part of me that's worried, right? You know, like LeBron's going to be, I don't mean to throw a cold blanket on this, but, you know, LeBron's going to be 35. Mm-hmm. Anthony Davis is not terribly durable. He has played, I think, 75 mm-hmm. games, and not as many this year, but part of that was them sitting him out while he was healthy, right? But he's been relatively healthy the last two seasons. He's a guy that gets, like, banged up a lot. He's a guy, you know, goes back to the locker room once or twice a week in a game, and we'll come back, you know, but
I've had him on my fantasy team. It is
it's terrifying. It's me too. Yeah, it is. It's not always fun. this is something that could go very wrong if it does not break the right mm-hmm. way. By the same token, you have
it can go very right though.
Right. Assuming that he re-signs next summer, let's be clear in that he's only under contract for a year. But assuming that this is where he wants to be, and Lord knows he fought pretty hard to get here.
Yeah.
The Lakers will have a bona fide superstar on the team for the next 5 years at the very least. And there's something to be said for that. But this is them putting it out all out on the line. I really like the kids. Never did I think any one of them would become Anthony Davis. And my issue with the haul that was given up is more related to just negotiations,
yeah.
right? In that, like,
yeah, like if Pelicans, if there was a clear second suitor who was offering something on that same level, then okay, right? The question here isn't or our problem with this isn't with the price in a vacuum. It's the context under which they gave up this price, right?
Right. Right. Absolutely. But at the end of the day, they walked away with a superstar,
yeah.
right? A top seven NBA player who's only 26 years old and will probably benefit greatly from having a still great perimeter shot creator, right? Mm-hmm. I'm working on Anthony Davis videos right now, and there's so many times where he has to take a really difficult shot the way that a perimeter player would, that's off balance and contested, right? Where both LeBron and Anthony Davis will not have to take as many of those shots this year because they have another guy like them that's able to do that. But there are a lot of risks associated with this is Lakers going all in. For me, there's an argument to be made for them to get depth rather than a third star. I would like that third star because I think that you can build out, maybe not this year, but over the next this year and the following year, some solid guys around them. But, you know, if you get a Kyrie Irving or a Kemba Walker or someone like that, you've got a core to build around even as LeBron starts to decline.
I can't wait for Lonzo to and Ingram to a lesser extent, because I think Ingram can be more obviously good. But I can't wait for Lonzo. Like, NBA hipster Twitter is going to turn. They've probably already turned on Lonzo already. The narrative on Lonzo is going to flip almost immediately.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
I love him and Zion.
My goodness, dude.
That's the thing here, is that the Pelicans, I think, are going to be really freaking good. Right? They still have Jrue Holiday. You're still going to have Lonzo Ball. Good luck scoring on that backcourt. Right? Ingram came into his own a little bit as a wing defender. And then, oh yeah, that Zion guy. Right? They're going to be really freaking good really, really soon. I don't think I think they probably have a year or two to reach that point. And unfortunately, they kind of have to make a decision on Ingram that you might not want to make after only 1 year of him being in New Orleans. But they're going to be really freaking good. And look, I think I kind of regret the way that the way I started this podcast. This does probably, and this is exactly kind of sort of what I was hoping for. I think it's just what it's like when you buy a car or a house that you've been looking at, right? Where you've been looking at it, you've been studying it, you've been comparing it to other things. You see this large purchase that you previously couldn't wait to make. Right. You couldn't wait to be able to move into the house. You couldn't wait to be able to drive around in that new car. But when you actually sign that dotted line and you see the amount of money that's coming out of your bank account, right? Like it can be kind of daunting. And I think that's kind of where I am right now. Right. That's where I am, where I'm saying this is, you know, you and I talked about, you and I, the point that I made was this is the way that I believe I had the most faith in the Lakers being able to build a contender anyway. But still, seeing the price written down in front of me, it's tough not to feel like, holy crap, that's a lot. And that's before we even get to the point of, because we knew that Lonzo and Ingram were probably going to go. We probably kind of sort of knew Hart, given what we know about Kuzma's ties within the organization, right? So we kind of knew what that was going to look like. We knew about the number four pick, right? And really, at the end of the day, two extra first rounders that are probably going to be in the mid to late 20s, that's not, that shouldn't really worry me all that much either. It's just seeing this all together. I think that's where I'm looking at, and I'm like, Jesus, better work. This really better work. And I do think it can. I do think, like, if you were to put Anthony Davis with a player, and this is the last point I want to make in this segment, and I want to know what you think about it. If you're going to have Anthony Davis on a team, you want him to be with LeBron, right? Because LeBron's going to be able to get him the ball. And then also from a mental, like a strategic standpoint, I hope LeBron is able to teach Anthony Davis when to take the foot off the pedal a little bit. I think when I watched Davis play and we talked about some of his injury concerns, he throws his body around out there way too much. Mm-hmm. And I kind of want LeBron to teach him, hey, maybe when we're up 13, you don't need to go and get that extra tip dunk. We don't need that right now.
The load management within a game. LeBron's exactly. Actually brilliant at that, and LeBron has extended his, not just his career, but his like really high-end, prime type window has been a result of knowing when to rest in games.
Yeah. We're going to take another quick second here, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the fallout. This is where I think we're going to start to get a little bit more excited. When we talk about what comes next in free agency, we get to laugh at Boston a little bit, so that's always fun. So hang tight, and we'll be right back here in a bit. So the other side of the ticker tape shop, right? The sticker shock that we were talking about in the end of the last segment is, well, this is now where we get to really have some fun with what might come next, right? Depending on the timing of this deal, the Lakers didn't take back, I don't believe, any additional contracts, right? So they still have full flexibility. Kuzma's on the books for super duper cheap, right? They have the ability now to go out and sign basically their choice of free agent, especially depending on the timing of said trade. So you and I talked last show about the fallout from the finals, and we talked specifically about Kawhi Leonard and the things that he seems to really value and he seems to really care about, right? If he really cares deeply about winning, you could do worse than playing alongside LeBron and playing alongside Anthony Davis.
Sure.
The other options that the Lakers have out there, one of the things that I'd heard a little bit more about over the course of the last week and was written about over the last week or so was Kyrie Irving. What this might do, now he was probably pretty focused and probably remains pretty focused on Brooklyn and even signed with a Brooklyn-based agency, right? But again, you could do worse than this pairing of teammates that we're looking at. Jimmy Butler was already interested in the Lakers, based on before they traded for Anthony Davis. So it's going to be interesting. And my question to you is, preferences of that player aside, of the free agents, if you had your choice of whoever you could throw in as the third big name here, would you make it a third big name, or would you go after role players, or would you, or who would that third big name be?
So I get the third guy, and you know, if I had my choice, it'd be Kawhi Leonard, right? Like that would be an absolutely monstrous trio of players. Beyond Kawhi, I think Kyrie is my, as you know, quixotic as he is, he would that. You know, I'd have some concerns on the defensive end, but the thing about this trade is that the Lakers are going to have big time holes on this roster no matter what they decide to do. However they decide to fill out this roster, whether it's through role players or through the third max, which is my preference, they're going to have holes on the team. They don't have any guards on the roster right now. And
Alex Caruso is sitting right there.
He's not under contract, and they better bring Caruso back. Damn it! Like, just for my own enjoyment. And to me, he's like a perfect like
backup point guard.
Backup point guard that you put alongside stars, who's like really smart. Who his let's hope his jumper from the end of last year, like let's hope
that was wild.
He shot like 43% or something like that. Hope he can shoot like 35 over the course of a season. He's a good defender. He can be like our Fred VanVleet type of guy, right? Mm-hmm. So I'd love to have Caruso back, but Lakers are going to need a guard, and Kyrie, like, bro, Do you know how many points Kyrie, LeBron, and Anthony Davis would score? Because Anthony Davis is basically Kevin Love on steroids.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, the type of player he is, right? He's, like, everything right. Kevin Love does.
He's, like, the full, like, the Pokemon full evolution of Kevin Love.
Right, exactly. Except he can, yeah. like, catch lobs 13 feet in the air with his left yeah. hand. Anthony, I can't right, wait.
I'm getting excited.
No, dude, I can't wait to release this Anthony Davis video. It's going to be a series of videos, but, like, this dude has, like, a 7'6 wingspan and is just a stupid standing reach. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's absurd. He's got yeah. great leaping ability, and he's got some of the best hands I've ever seen on a big
yes.
man. He can catch errant lobs with his left hand behind his head, twisting to the side, and gently guide them up into the rim. Like the type of, you know, like LeBron throws those next level, like super genius type passes that sometimes guys cannot, like they don't know how to handle it. Magic, yeah. Magic used to make passes like this and hit dudes in the head, right? Anthony yep. Davis will catch and convert these in ways that like it's... Dude, it's like Anthony Davis is basically like Kevin Love and JaVale McGee, like the best attributes of those two guys in yeah. one, right? And so, I mean, I'm super excited about that. But if you add like a guy who can score off of ball screens the way that Kyrie can, they're going to score a zillion points per game. You need everybody else needs to be able to defend their asses off. And Anthony Davis is a great rim protector when he wants to be. He fell off a little last year, but I think part of that's because he didn't want to be there. But yeah. everybody else has to defend their asses off and hopefully be able to hit a three, but defend your ass off first and foremost, right?
Yeah.
For me, that's my guy. How about you, man? Who are you thinking in free agency?
I also would it comes down to those two guys, Kyrie and Kawhi, and then Jimmy Butler is like the next guy on that list, but there's a bit of a gap there. So it's Kawhi by quite a bit, and then Kyrie by in second place by quite a bit, and then Jimmy Butler. And then from there, like I don't think Chris Middleton is going anywhere. Klay Thompson would have been really interesting.
Yeah.
Before he got hurt, but you know the Lakers can't afford to wait around a whole year while you know and wait for use another year of LeBron's career. That goes without saying. So it's those three guys. The reason I would probably and maybe even bring Jimmy closer to Kyrie than maybe even originally thought is you do need defenders. You do need guys who are going to get after it. And I'm a little concerned about having Kyrie and LeBron out there for big chunks of time. If that's that, I'm concerned that that's going to put an inordinate toll on Anthony Davis moving forward. So that's why Kawhi again, and nobody knows what's going on here with him. Like nobody, I think the closest thing to a read on Kawhi that I have seen was Danny Green saying that why wouldn't he stick around? But even that was made in the form of a question. Nobody knows what's going on there.
Sure, absolutely, yeah. And if you can get, I mean, dude, that would be, yeah. I'm gonna allow myself to dream for a little while. It's gonna sting seeing the young guys go. So I'm gonna have to find new ways of emotional attachment. And trust me, yeah. working on an Anthony Davis video,
winning is
helps.
Gonna help.
Yes, winning, not being bad, will help that a lot.
Yeah, and look, like the nice thing about the way the NBA is set up, and you know they're in a different time zone, so you'll get the occasional, like, you'll be able to catch a New Orleans game for a little bit and then switch over to the Lakers game. Those will be fun nights, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of how I've been existing with D'Angelo Russell out there in Brooklyn. You catch a little bit of that game and then you focus back on the Laker game. It's going to be fascinating, the fallout to all of this. Imagine if D'Angelo Russell is the third guy.
Yeah, I think there's no chance of that.
I would probably agree. Let's cut this a little short here because we're probably going to get a ton of other fallout, and I'm sure the show that we record tomorrow for Monday is going to be filled with even more updates on the situation. I do want to spend the last couple minutes here laughing at the Boston Celtics.
Yes. Oh, thank you. Thank you for remembering this. Yes.
So, look, there's a chance here where they had this entire treasure trove of assets that they've been linked to every trade target. They've made every potential hypothetical trade. Danny Ainge has been seen as this NBA guru who figured out the league. They hired Brad Stevens, and they were seen as this franchise up on the hill. And the Lakers just made the trade. that they have been reluctant to make, and in my opinion, are probably going to enter next season better than the Boston Celtics. So that in and of itself, I'm going to go ahead and say that makes this trade worth it. It would have really hurt to seen him go to Boston, Anthony Davis go to Boston.
You know, that was my second preferred outcome. And I mean, trust me, I'd rather us have AD on an overpay than not have him. But yeah. He was not going to stay there. And like, I kind of relished the idea of 1 year there with them, like gutting what they have. And then, but yeah, Boston, look, Boston has been, they're such an interesting, God, what's the term I'm looking for? They fit right in this little niche where a lot of NBA media has a blind spot to how all this works, in my opinion, right? Yeah. They always appeal to that, like, that clever guy that operates around the margins, right? Mm-hmm. And there's value to that, right? But that's not the only thing that's valuable, right? There's people already bitching on Twitter about how Lakers get rewarded with one of the best players in the NBA despite having incompetent management. And this, fuck them. but beyond that, it's misunderstanding. The Lakers built a brand, and they are enjoying the residual benefits of that. They have hurt the brand over the last few years, but they did such an incredible job of building it over 30 years that it's been chipped away at, but it's still, Rich Paul was calling them Jennifer Lopez the other day.
Yeah.
Right? And that's still how the Lakers are seen. The Clippers aren't seen that way. Not even the Knicks are seen that way in a big market. The Lakers earn that.
Bulls aren't seen that way.
Maybe Bulls aren't seen that way, right? The Lakers earned that. Maybe it was a different regime. And maybe it was the Jerry Buss as opposed to Jeannie Buss, or Jerry West as opposed to Rob Pelinka, right? But it was over the course of 30 years where you become so intertwined with people's lives, people's memories of what basketball is. Like, it reminds me of, in the 80s and 90s, we used to call copy machines Xerox machines, right?
Yeah.
Xerox was a company, right? But they were so pervasive, or to make it more modern, when you look something up on the internet, what do you say? I got to go Google that, right?
Yeah.
There's plenty of other search engines,
right.
But Google has built such a dynamic and powerful brand that you associate the very action of searching for something.
Calling an Uber.
Whipping them, right. Yeah. Calling an Uber, even if it could be a Lyft or something else, right? Mm-hmm. You associate the very action of it with their name. There are a lot of people that associate the sport of basketball and NBA basketball specifically with the Lakers. The Lakers are the first thing that come to mind with that. So the notion that the Celtics, because they were clever in trading for future first round picks and winning around the margin.
Future second round picks.
Right.
I remember when they were highlighting second round picks. Like, what?
And because they're so much smarter than the other guys in the room. And that's what it comes down to, is overvaluing that. And they have built the perfect circumstances for them to be a gritty sixth seed for the coming future that nobody really wants to come to as free agents because of the way that they treat human beings. And that's the other element that's been overlooked about how they've gone about this, is the way that they treat people is a turnoff to the biggest stars in the NBA. And the biggest stars in the NBA are the most important element of building a team in the league.
Yeah.
And that's why it's like I said, they're going to be a gritty sixth seed for a while now. And that's fucking great.
I had to retweet Mannix because he said that this directly is going to lead to Kyrie leaving. It's incredible. And here's the thing. Here's my thing. To build on the point that you made about treating superstars the way that the Lakers treat superstars, I criticize the Lakers up and down for the Kobe Bryant trade. Or the Kobe Bryant extension. Contract. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the extension after, they gave him. Now, they did they literally overpaid the guy, right? It was a thing. And look, I'm not saying that they were able to land LeBron or they were able to land Anthony Davis because they overpaid Kobe, because that's an asinine point to make. But I think overall, when you look at the way the Lakers have treated their superstars and you compare it to the way the Celtics traded away Paul Pierce at the end of his career, and they traded away Kevin Garnett after Kevin Garnett was convinced to go there, sign an extension to go there, and then was shipped out as soon as he wasn't useful anymore, right? Mm-hmm. And I think so. I wrote an article about this for Silver Screen and Roll, and as I was writing it, you know, this is the same franchise, by the way, that asked Isaiah Thomas to play Hurt, and then as soon as he wasn't able to return to full health, they shipped him out too, right? And he'll never make back the money that he sacrificed in that sequence of events. Like, all of that stuff adds up. And maybe Anthony Davis just didn't want to go to Boston because it was a Rich Paul thing, and Rich Paul and LeBron were convincing him to come to LA. Maybe that was it, right? Maybe that was the full kit and caboodle, as far that the full pie chart was just that, right? But let's just say, hypothetically, that it was a little bit of, no, the Celtics have a shitty reputation with how they treat superstars. We're seeing it with Kyrie Irving getting ready to leave too, right? And all this stuff has come back to bite them in the ass while they have been the smartest person in the room. And there's no person that I like being around less.
Yeah, than that's everyone, especially the one that's so willing to tell you. And yes, has everybody else telling you that they're... That's the thing, is the way the media has carried water for the Celtics, because the Celtics have a concerted strategy to get in good with the media, right? And
it's smart, but...
It is smart, absolutely. Yeah. But it's so... friggin' shameless from the media perspective of just seeing how deceptively they are portrayed as a result of that, right? It's a whole scratch my back, you scratch yours. Whenever you see friggin' Woj, right, tweeting something nice about someone, like Woj was tweeting the other day about how Rob Pelinka has been a stern negotiator and how he's really held the line. Like, obviously that wasn't the case, right? Like, he gave up his a ton for this deal, right? But who do you think Woj gets his information from the Lakers? It's freaking Rob Pelinka, right? Whenever you see Woj,
he always has. That dates back to Kobe,
right? And whenever you see Woj tweeting some bullshit, gassing somebody up, you can bet your ass that is payback or an advance toward information that he's going to be getting in the future. And it's everybody. It's Woj. It's Mannix. It's so many people from across NBA media in how they've presented them. And the reality is that they were never that close. Right.
Yeah.
It was just this, and it was just been delightful to see that house of cards toppling down.
Yeah. That'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. This trade is, I think it's the rare one that, you know, you walk away from and you say it was fair both ways. Yeah, if you just look now, I think given the context under which the Lakers were negotiating, I think they overpaid. But again, like you and I talked about with leverage, the Lakers had to make this deal. Rob Pelinka had to make this deal. Now, that in and of itself is kind of a indicator of how flawed the Lakers are currently constituted. But, you know, that's that because of that situation, they overpaid on this trade. But, you know, even with that said, and here's the thing about basketball takes, you're not allowed buts in basketball takes, right? You're not allowed to say this can be true, but this can also be true. All of this can be true at the same time. The Lakers made this trade, they overpaid given the context of the situation, but they landed the superstar. And this superstar could lead to another superstar. And that trio of superstars, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Superstar X, right, or in this case Z, that's going to be pretty freaking fun to watch, right? That's going to be really freaking fun to root for moving forward. So for now, this will do it for this emergency episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Pete, thank you very much for hopping on short notice like this. I hugely, hugely appreciate it. And unless something else crazy happens, I'll be talking to you. Maybe you and I will be talking to everybody on Monday to recap what promises to be a pretty eventful weekend at this point.
Yeah, absolutely, man. This is a new era in Lakers basketball.
Absolutely. Hey, happy Father's Day, dude.
Happy Father's Day to you too, my man.
Weird. Happy Father's Day to everybody. Enjoy Anthony Davis as your gift. And we'll talk to you guys when we talk to you.